This morning I want to talk about the Holy Spirit on the inside and the outside. He's both. When you get saved, Jesus puts his glory or his spirit in your heart. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms where David says they were at Mount Horeb, and the scripture says they traded their glory. What's our glory? Christ in us. They traded their glory for the image, not the real thing. The image, not the real thing. The image of a bull. The bull represents strength and personal strength. It's his strength. He gets things done on his strength. So we trade our glory and allowing the Holy Spirit to move and talk to us and move through us to trying to do things on our own strength. That's why the self-help book or the self-help downloads are so many, because people don't go to the Holy Spirit for that. They go to a book or someone who's done it before. When we go to church and we start talking about the Holy Spirit, some people get real standoffish. Some people are fine talking about Jesus, but they don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not a stranger to us. The Word of God calls him the breath, the pneuma, the breath, the very breath of God. The Hebrew word there is ruah, and it means breath, a powerful spiritual breath. A breath so strong that it can feel like a wind. It's also spoken of as what we would, if you've been in church and Pentecostal churches for a long time, call it the paraclete. That was a word that John used. But when we speak about the paraclete, we've been taught that it's just one that comes and comforts us. We talk a little bit about how there's power with the Holy Spirit. We talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. But the term paraclete cannot be easily translated into the English language. There's no word that really fits it. There are a bunch of words, and it's called the comforter, the teacher, the one who comes beside. But it also talks about him as an advocate. It talks about him as a lawyer, one that goes and speaks on our behalf. Does that sound like someone else in the Trinity we've talked about? Talks about, yes, Jesus. We'll talk about it in a minute. There's one translation that even says the other Savior. I'm going to send you the other Savior. And as we talk about the Holy Spirit, you'll understand why. He's not a stranger. When God was creating the earth, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the earth. So the Holy Spirit was there in creation, yet we think of him as a stranger. When God spoke and created the earth, it was his pneuma or his breath that he spoke, and it was so. When he created man, it said that, and I'm going to read out of the translation, Yahweh God scooped up a lump of soil, sculptured a man, and blew in his nostrils the breath of life. Then man came alive, a living soul. Again, the breath of life. the Holy Spirit was there at the creation of man. At David's anointing, it said, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Samson, we know about, the man with the long hair and was very strong, remember? And in Judges it says, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to wherever he was and struck down 30,000 men or something. Balaam, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his discourse and said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and what happened? He began to praise. He began to speak the things of God. When Mary talked to Elizabeth and the Spirit leaped inside, y'all remember there's a whole long discourse that Elizabeth begins to speak about who God is and what he is. Listen, there's a revelation of spiritual things when the Holy Spirit is present. And the Spirit of God, this is Balaam, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, or whatever, the oracle of the man whose eye is open, the oracle of him who hears the word, and he goes on and he talks about the Lord. He was there at the, this is fascinating, and for all of you who are not what I would call separated into the ministry, I want you to listen very close to this. This is the building of the tent of meeting when Moses set up the tent and they put the ark in it. This is what the Lord told Moses. I left the gentleman's name out, but he's talking about a particular builder. He said, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with the ability and intelligence and knowledge and all craftsmanships to devise artistic design, to work in gold, silver, bronze. Braden. To work in gold, silver, bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft. He literally, the Spirit of the Lord came upon this guy to be the builder. Prophecies. First Peter says, and we had lots of Old Testament prophets, and he said, and there's lots of prophecies about the coming Messiah, and in First Peter he says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Joshua. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man with whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. See, we want to think the Holy Spirit is a new thing and a New Testament thing. He comes in a New Testament way. Saul and his messengers, y'all remember David had been anointed king, and Saul was not happy about that. And so they were at odds with each other, and Saul was seeking David's life. It says, now David fled and escaped, and he came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done. He's talking to Samuel. And he and Samuel went and lived in this other city. And as it was told Saul, behold, David is at this city in Ramah. Then Saul sent messengers to take David, not in a nice way. And when they saw the company of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as head over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. They went back and told Saul this. Saul sent some more messengers to go down there and get David. And they came close, and guess what happened? The Spirit of the Lord fell upon them, and they began to prophesy. A third time, Saul sent some messengers down there to get David. And they came into God's presence and began to prophesy. Then guess who came? Saul said, I guess I got to go down there myself and get the job done. And when he came close to God's presence, he fell on his face, tore his clothes. They said, laid naked before Samuel and prophesied. The Spirit of God has always been present. So when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure why we get so nervous about this. There's no reason. The Holy Spirit is the one who goes out and draws you to the Father. The Holy Spirit is the one who whispers to you, don't do this, this is sin. It says the Holy Spirit is the one who convinces men of sin. Not me. It's not my job. I can just teach you. But the Holy Spirit is the one who has to convince you. Now, when the Holy Spirit is imparted into you at salvation, He's in you at salvation. Jesus' blood came, washed your sins, and made that Holy Spirit be able to live inside you. You receive this at salvation. This is what I call the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit's job, He gives you a new DNA. The Holy Spirit is there, we think, to tell us how to fix ourselves. But He is there for a transfiguration. 2 Corinthians 3:13, we are not like Moses, who used a veil to hide the glory to keep the Israelites from staring at him as it faded away. See, when he went in God's presence, then he left God's presence, and then that glory would fade away, and he wore a veil. He said, their minds were closed and hardened, for even to this day, the same veil covers their minds. The same veil covers our minds sometimes, right? When they hear the words of the former covenant, when we hear about the old things of the Bible, the veil has not yet been lifted from them, for it is only eliminated when one is joined to the Messiah, Jesus. So until now, whenever the Old Testament is being read, the same blinding comes over our eyes, and he's talking about he's teaching them because they're just learning about Jesus, right? But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. Now hang on, because we think, oh, we turned to Jesus, he saved us, and now we see. But that's not what the scripture says. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. Now, the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit. See, church hasn't worked well because we told kids to make Jesus the Lord of their life, ask Him to be their Savior, and they're good. They're going to heaven. And there's truth to that. There's truth to that. But when the Holy Spirit is placed inside us, He should be Lord of our lives. Is He Lord of our lives? Are we listening to Him every day? Are we asking Him what He wants for the day? Are we asking Him what He wants us to change? Are we hard-headed, stiff-necked, and say, I'll never get rid of that temper because my family is a bunch of, who is it? Cajuns, Italians, who are the people that are all considered to be hot-headed? I can never be healed of that. That thing runs in my family. Being Lord of your life. You're being Lord of your life. You're telling God He can't heal you. The rest of that scripture says, and wherever He is Lord, there is freedom. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. That can be in a personal sense, and that can be in our congregate worship. We can either have a cut and dry, here it is, here's the announcements, thank you, bless you, here's a little word, see y'all next week. Or we can allow the Holy Spirit to do His bidding. That's a choice you make in your life every day. And that's a choice we make in this house every time we meet. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Wherever He is Lord, we can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our face. You know what the veil means? It's a cover-up. So see, it's Satan's job to keep you in the cover-up phase. He doesn't want the veil of your eyes to be lifted so you can see who Jesus is and what the Holy Spirit can do if you make Him Lord. He doesn't want that. And with no veil, we become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. I'm just reading scriptures. I'm not even expounding for you guys. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can open your heart and your mind and help you understand what these scriptures are saying. Here's what I want to get to, though. We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to the other. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The transfiguration inside here occurs when God puts the Spirit in here and you let Him be Lord. When you begin to turn to Him instead of doing your own thing, inquire of the Lord instead of doing your own thing. Holy Spirit, do I take this job? Holy Spirit, do I go talk to that person? Or Holy Spirit, yes, I hear you and I will go talk to this person. But what I want to talk to you is about the word transfiguration. Transfigured comes from the word metamorphosis. We all know that one, don't we? We all learned it in grade school, the caterpillar becoming a butterfly and he makes a cocoon and all that kind of stuff. That's the word that is given when you make the Holy Spirit Lord of your life. You become transfigured. So let me just tell you a little bit about that. I don't know that I'll get all the stories right, but you know, the caterpillar is in a very immature state. What is it, a larva? Is it the larva and then it goes to pupa or whatever? I don't want to read my notes, so we're winging it here. Oh, they're going to get a wing when they... So... But the larva is the immature state. And before the larva becomes the butterfly, he has to go through the pupa state, and he gets into what when he does that? A cocoon, or chrysalis, or whatever you call it if you want to be specific on the butterfly. They're two different ones. But nevertheless, we're going to use the word cocoon. So he gets in that cocoon, and he spins himself into that cocoon. And when he's in that cocoon, he is going through metamorphosis. And it says that he is in an inactive state. He is not doing the change. The change is already in his DNA.
Ooh, go ahead.
What happens if he doesn't get in the cocoon? He's going to die in that immature state. But if he will spin that cocoon and get in that cocoon, he's in the perfect environment to allow the DNA, listen to me, to unveil itself. It reveals itself. So if we're going to be caterpillars here, And we want the Holy Spirit to transfigure us and bring us through metamorphosis. Our job is not to make the change happen. When you receive Jesus, you received a new DNA. It's in there. Your job and the caterpillar's job was to make sure he got into the environment that would allow the DNA to replicate and continue and bring him to his mature state. So what is our job? It's not about performance, perfection. That's what we sang this morning, right? Our job is to get ourselves into the cocoon. And I like to speak about the Holy Spirit as being the cocoon. You've got to get in God's presence for the temperature to be right, for the nutrients to be right. And then the pupa just lies there for, what, 2 weeks? And then all of a sudden he comes out and becomes active again, and he's got these beautiful wings and can fly, and he's in an adult state and can accomplish different things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 talks to us about the fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit on the inside produces fruit. There's a difference in the Holy Spirit you receive at salvation, and there's a separate experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Holy Spirit that is received at salvation does his work inside you. That's his job. He's coming in there to work some things out inside you. Okay? Galatians says, the Holy Spirit within you is divine love. What is the Holy Spirit in you? Divine love. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. God is love. I think love has a lot more to do with this than we realize. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. So what I'm telling you is the fruit of the Spirit is what you should hatch out of your cocoon with. As the Holy Spirit transfigures you, and then you're mature. If you don't hatch out of that, does that mean you're not saved? Not necessarily. It probably means you're a very immature Christian. The other things the Holy Spirit does for us, he's a teacher. John says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I think I was talking to Miss Vicky this week and said something about I was supposed to pick something up and I forgot. I said the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me, remember, you need this, and I forgot. But he brings all things to your remembrance. John 2, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. There were some false doctrines coming in, some false teaching coming in. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. It's not telling you never to go sit and listen to somebody teach. But there were some people teaching them the wrong thing. He said, hey, you got the Holy Spirit inside you. Why you listen to that? That's contradictory to what the Word of God says. It's contradictory to what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit is the one that should come upon and teach. So He can open up Scripture to you. He reveals Jesus. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Out here in the world, sometimes it's hard to know what's true and what's not. But sometimes when you don't know who's telling the truth, you need to sit back and let Holy Spirit discern who's telling the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, this is Jesus, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. This is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. You guys want to know what God's doing? Holy Spirit has that. If He's Lord of our life, He's going to share that with us. We can tap into that. When the Helper comes, this is in John 15, when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. That's Jesus speaking. In 2 Timothy, it talks about how the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired Scripture. All Scripture is breathed by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We need to cultivate. We need to tend the ark of presence that God has put in our heart. We need to do this daily. If you're in a relationship, you don't go weeks and weeks without communication. That's Holy Spirit inside you. I want to talk to you about Holy Spirit outside of you. I'm going to go as quickly as I can. We understand that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different from salvation. We can see this in Matthew. Where it was said, I baptize you with water for repentance. This is John. But He who is coming is mightier than I, whose sandals that I am unworthy. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 14. I will ask My Father, and He will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like Me. He will never leave you. The world won't receive Him because they can't see Him. Remember, they're veiled. They cannot see Him. But when you accept Jesus, you can see Him. You know Him intimately because He remains with you and will live inside you. John 1, I myself did not know Him, but He who sent Me to baptize said to Me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. The whole thing, Jesus is saying, I'm going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. What He's saying is, I am the Spirit of God living outside. When I die and I pay the price for sin, it's going to be God inside. He said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In Acts it says, but you will receive power. And this word for power is not just power. The word translates to God's power, a supernatural power. When the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea. Holy Spirit inside is to transfigure us. Holy Spirit outside is to help us witness and bring the love of Christ to the world so that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And when the day, this is Acts 2, and when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. What did I tell you? Holy Spirit is a power. powerful breath unto wind. You can imagine if God spoke, the power that would come out, that breath that would come out. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared upon them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, and Jews and devout men that heard them speak in that language. And we remember that story. We see that when Jesus left, he called the disciples to them. Remember, he hadn't even ascended to heaven. He had just died on the cross. He was about to ascend to heaven. And at that point, he breathed the Holy Spirit, which is similar to what we see at salvation when the Spirit comes to live inside us. But remember, they didn't have salvation. Jesus hadn't died for their sins yet. But now he had, and they were believing, and he breathed on them the Spirit. And what did he tell them after that? If that was all there was of the Spirit, we'd be done. But he didn't tell them that. He said, now I want you to go and stay in Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit until you be endued with power, God's power. The word for that baptism of the Holy Spirit is like a cloak, like being clothed, like being wrapped. It's an overflow of the Holy Spirit that is in here that begins to overflow and begins to spread the gospel. But if you are not full in here, sometimes you're not willing because you're still working this salvation out. You don't understand. You're still like Jacob in the ladder. Remember when he was out there about to meet his brother? There was a spiritual fight that occurred. And sometimes that's occurring inside of us, but we have to make sure our environment is correct. You can imagine if the cocoon was not sustainable, then he would be at prey to be eaten by other things. And sometimes we're not wrapping and we're not tending the presence. And so our environment is a situation that leads us struggling in life sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And then we wonder, does this religion thing really work? Well, the religion thing doesn't work, but if you'll have a relationship and you let the Holy Spirit come in and be Lord of your life and you listen to him and you tend his presence, there's going to be a difference. I told you last week, the reason why people don't want to come to church is because the Bible said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. But what's happening is we've got a watered-down, half-matured Christians. To thump the Bible and put it out there to show you that you're wrong and I'm righteous. Who wants that? Nobody wants that. So that's why our gospel is not being received, is because we're not really giving out the gospel. We're giving out what we want. We're giving out something that makes us look better than we are sometimes, you know? We're not giving out the love of God. We're giving out, we're beating you up with the Bible, and we're not putting any love with it. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit outside. I'm going to need some help. Did I have some volunteers? Come on, I'm not going to do anything mean to you. As many, Stella, come on, you can come on. Who else? Who else wants to volunteer? Maddie, you want to come help me? Samuel, you want to come help me? Where'd he go? He went out. store plastic things stick together sometimes. This is us. I want to show you the redness because this is our sin, ugliness. This was me with my mother-in-law yesterday. I wasn't mean to her, but my heart was not right. And here's what the Father wants to do. Remember when the scripture in Psalms 51 said he bathes us with his love? So see, he pours his love. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. What's happening? I'm getting clear. And then I begin to spill over, right? Let me give my people their... Y'all want to get on the plastic here in case we make a mess. I promise I'm not going to throw water on you like they do at the comedy shows. Oh, come on, Samuel, here, get you. Wait, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this one. Still, you can take that one, Jane, you take this one. I gave her a new vessel. She got a new hairdo. I don't know. Okay. I should have Brother Bo's little walkie-talkie, but let's see. So the Holy Spirit fills us. And then when there's so much of the Holy Spirit, we become immersed. You see that? And then Spirit continues to fill you. It begins to flow over, and then it begins to clothe you in the Holy Spirit. We want to make it a big, scary thing. Listen, I am telling you now, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I came into the church, the sanctuary, and I just began to praise God with everything I had, all my heart. I'm sitting probably somewhere similar to where Carrie is sitting. And I remember raising my hands and just praising the Lord. And I don't know how much time passed. And after a while, I woke up with my hands raised. And I was so overfull of the love of God that I could not even praise Him with my English. It wasn't enough. And I began to bubble out the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit began to pray in His Spirit language. And that's what happens with the Holy Spirit when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. he begins to bubble over and begins to praise in his own language, speaking directly to God, speaking in what we call that heavenly language. That's why we call it that. But even in the New Testament, he told them to go and wait for it. Even further on in the New Testament, Paul and them would come out and he would say, did you get saved? They said yes. And then he'd say, have you been baptized? And they'd say no. And he would baptize them. And then he'd say, now have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because he knew there was more. There was the Holy Spirit to transfigure us, and then there's the Holy Spirit to tell others and teach others. It comes with spiritual gifts, and that's when we begin to hear about the spiritual gifts, and we're not going to go into detail about that. But in 1 Corinthians 12, it will tell you all about those spiritual gifts, and it will list those. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, when people just know things. Have you ever had people give you a word and it's like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm going through? That's that gift. The gift of faith, the gift of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, the gift of speaking in tongues. There are all these different gifts that he has. There are different gifts. It says the same Holy Spirit who distributes, activates, and operates these different gifts as he's chosen for each believer. So I encourage you to get in a place, in an environment of praise, where Jesus' love is so bubbling over that there are no words. And I will tell you that your body will begin to feel that. It says, with trembling lips and stammering tongues. And you're going to begin to feel that, and you will feel the Holy Spirit taking such lordship over you that you begin to praise in that spiritual tongue. It's not about me pushing on you or knocking you over or spitting in your face. And many people... Pastor Bo received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with nobody around. I'll let him tell you the story of where he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I've heard of people that were driving in their car. That's the place where they can be so alone. And they had worship music, and they were just singing and praising with all of their might to the Lord. And all of a sudden, it was like, wow, what did I say? That's how that thing happens. That's how it happens. But when it does, it's going to come with power. It's going to, you know, you can have authority to do something. I can give Stella the authority to go move my car physically, push my car. And you get authority when you become a Christian. When you ask Jesus, he's given you all authority. But sometimes the object needs power to push it. So I encourage you to get to know the Holy Spirit more intimately. Get in your cocoon and let him change who you are. And then you're going to see that people are going to start walking up to you and said, I don't know what you have, but I want it. I worked a psych unit, ran two psych units, and one time I had a boy that was, I don't know, out of control, and they were all out of control and a bunch of nonsense. And so they called me in after hours, and I knew who the culprit was. I knew that demonic spirit very well. I said, please put him in the seclusion room, because I knew he was the one stirring all the trouble. So I come in, get everything settled. I go in the seclusion room to talk to him. And he said, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something in you that scares the bleep out of me. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the power to help you move authority along. Sometimes you've got to have a little muscle. Holy Spirit is very powerful, but he's very gentle. He will not overstep where you will not allow him to be. He will not overstep. That's why he's got to be Lord. When he's Lord, that means you have to be subject to him. But if you're not being subject to him, he's not going to be Lord of your life. And your metamorphosis will be delayed. Last scripture I'm going to give you is that the Bible says in Romans, and if you will go to read some Romans this week, I challenge you. Romans 8, for the sense and reason of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. Do you not have life and peace? You need to spend more time with the Holy Spirit. If you've not come into the Freedom Class, you need to come to the Freedom Class. The thing that he said last week or the week before, he said, if you have a sin problem, it's not a discipline problem. It's a relationship problem. And you need to enhance and grow your relationship. The entire thing of Romans goes in and talks about living according to the life of the Spirit. And he will put the death away and he will bring life and peace. And then in 14 it says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. We have to be ready. We have to be ready to move. When is the last time that the Holy Spirit said, stop what you're doing, go to the neighbor's house, there's a need there? When is the last time the Holy Spirit said to you, you know that $100 you got out at the ATM? You didn't know why you were getting it? I want you to give it to so-and-so. There's a need there. That's how the body is to operate. And when we're operating like that, we're not going to have to beg people to come to church. They're going to want to come to church. They're going to want to worship God. They're going to want to be in a place where the Holy Spirit is Lord and allowed to move and be Lord in our congregation and in our lives. And then witnessing becomes kind of easy. You go, I don't know how to start the conversation. Well, you know what? Complete your metamorphosis. And when people see how bad you were and how good you are now, they're going to go, what did you do? What a conversation starter. Let's bow our heads. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you because you're here for the inside to bring transformation, Father, and I thank you that you're doing that. And Father, I thank you that you also provided the power, Lord Jesus, to go with the authority, Father, that we will be strong and bold when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, Father. We will clothe ourselves. We will shut ourselves into the cocoon, Lord Jesus, and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move and change us and make us who we're supposed to be. And Father, when the time has come for us to come out of that cocoon, Lord Jesus, we'll spread those wings, Father, and we will fly. We will fly and we will spread the gospel. Father, we will set the captives free. Father, we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Father, we will speak peace into people's lives, Father, and it will be so. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the intricate way you put this together. Father, the scripture testifies of this everywhere, Father. Once the veil is lifted from our eyes, Father, the Holy Spirit begins to show us and teach and intertwine all of these scriptures that make more sense of what your plan was in the beginning, Lord. Father, we set you as a seal upon our heart. We set you as a seal. Father, we're going to place you as Lord of our lives. Father, we're going to tend to the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we're going to clean our purse out. We're going to clean our purse out. Thank you for what you're doing. Listen, this is what we do sometimes. These are my chips. I don't play poker, but these are my chips. And we're in a game, and we say, oh, the life game, and we're going, oh, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm going to put more into you. That was taken care of. Now something else comes up. Lord, I'm going to put a little bit more into you. What we're not realizing is by putting those few chips, we're not spinning a full cocoon. So the pestilence can get in, worms can get in, and take us out, and we'll never mature. But this is what the Holy Spirit wants. Things in different baskets. I'm all in. We sing a song that says, this isn't a one-time thing. I'm signing up for the rest of my life. This isn't a one-time thing. All my chips are in this basket. You can have all of me, all my chips. You can have it all. No secret places. Spin your cocoon this week. Spin your cocoon.
This is the perfect time for us to receive an offering. Because